Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us this morning for our Sunday school class as we continue to look at the book of Revelations. I appreciate Mitch filling in for me last Sunday because things were not well with Frances. But she's hanging in there. I might say that today. Just keep praying for us. We do thank you for your prayers very much. You know, when you get into scriptures, you find out that you're dumb as a rock. And when you get in the book of Revelation, you really find out you're double dumb as a rock. And you find out that if it was not for the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't know anything. And I just thank the Lord for his precious, sweet word. And you know, if you've never taken a lot of time to study God's word, I'd challenge you to do so. Because you don't have any idea what you're missing. Because you can feel his presence as strong and as deep when you're studying his precious word as you can any other time. We have wonderful times at church, but there's wonderful times in study and fellowship in his word with him. So as we begin, let's bow in prayer, and then we'll continue to look in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Lord, again today, we come before you. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day. Lord, help us not to be proud or exalted. It's not us, it's you. Lord, you tell us we have no ability within ourselves to comprehend those things that are written in the pages of your precious word. You tell us that we know those things by your precious spirit that walks us through it. So today, Lord, we'd ask that you'd help us to walk down the path that we're walking down today and walk through these scriptures that we might learn and gain knowledge about you, about how wonderful you are, about how powerful you are. And Lord, how you fulfill promises. It makes no difference what the world thinks. It's what you think and do each day. Lord, we'd ask that you'd bless this time together in this assembly, not only for this time in Sunday school, but worship hour and all things that we do here today. May it be done in the name of the Lord for no other reason but to glorify you. We thank you for loving us and saving us by your marvelous grace. Bless those that listen in now by way of internet. Be with us now as only you can. But just humble us before you. In the name of Christ, we do pray with thankful hearts. Amen. Book of Revelation, chapter number 18. We talked about Sunday before last. We had talked about that great city of Balaam. And we're talking about the destruction of the city of Balaam. And something came to my mind as I was studying this week, so I need to ask you a question. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time thinking. You know, as we've studied the book of Revelation, we have focused on Palestine and Jerusalem. So we basically have been focusing your focus gets centered on the nation of Israel and the state of Israel. But you don't realize that this is not just happening there. This is the hub. This is the headquarters, so to speak, of the activity. It's like Washington, D.C., and, yeah, we could do without it too, I think. But nevertheless, let me ask you a question. You wonder how things could come to the point that they will be with the great city Babylon that we've just discussed the last time we were together about being destroyed. I want to see your hand this morning. When we leave here today, if you go somewhere to buy a meal or buy some gas or buy some groceries or whatever, how many of you in here will pay for that with cash money? Let me see your hand. How many of you will pay for it with a credit card? All right, now you think about that. How many times do you go through the line at Bojangles or Hardee's or McDonald's or somewhere, and it's click-up? Go to the grocery store, and it's click-up. How many of you have got a cell phone hanging on your side this morning? Sister here says no. She's... Now, think about this for just a moment. What if the program that makes that thing operate that's in your pocket or on your side all of a sudden died? What would we be this morning if our internet service went down? Where will we be this morning if all our communication system goes down? And I got to thinking about, how in the world could Satan gain control of the whole world, and that hub city of Babylon could be in the position that it's in as quick as it's going to be during the tribulation period? And it's real simple when we get thinking about it. Because there's going to be something in the... And we've read this several times, but I'm going to read it to you one more time. I want it to sink in. Maybe to sink in with you like it's beginning to sink in to me with the more I study this. Listen to this carefully. Now, we're talking about the time when the old dragon shows up and the beast shows up and they do all the miracles and the wonders and the powers. And we come down to the point that it talks about that image that gives life to that image. And then in number 16 of chapter number 14, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Okay? Now, what have you got to have? You've got to have a mark. Okay? Now that mark's going to be your credit card. Now listen as we go a little bit deeper in that. You got to sleeve that mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So you've got to have that mark in the right hand. You've got to have that mark in the forehead. And number 17 says that no man might do what? He might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So you're going to have the mark, you're going to have the card, you're going to have some identification. And if you don't have it, you don't do what? You do not buy and you do not sail. So you can starve to death in a hurry. And that's what's going to be taking place as we go along through the tribulation period. And it's come to the point now that with that great Babylon, it's both the economical system of the world and the religious system of the world, the harlot church, the universal church, the satanic church. And that's headquarters for it all. That's the hub of it all. Now, if you take an old wagon wheel and you burst the hub out of it, what happens to the wheel? She comes all to pieces, don't she? Well, that's what we saw take place when God begins to judge the city Babylon. We have a tendency sometimes to focus on that, since it's symbolized as a woman, we have a tendency to focus on a personality and not a structure. This, we're talking about a whole structure city that controls the world, kind of like Washington, D.C. and Congress does us. They're pretty good at wasting stuff, I think. So now let's look at a few things as we go back. Go with me to Revelation 16. And I know I'm retracing, but let's embed some things in our mind as we go back and look at these. Now, in 16, and I want you to look with me, if you will, at verse number 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils. And then notice the next phrase, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of what? Earth. Notice earth. But now we're going to go a little bit farther in this as we look. It says, they go forth in the kings of the earth, and the what? Whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of Almighty God. Now here we know that we're talking about that battle of the Armageddon that's coming up. But I want you to notice, here's the focus, and I'm telling you again, it's not just that focus of around Palestine, it's the earth, the whole world that's involved in this. All these catastrophes that we see that are taking place in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, they're not happening in just one local place. It's worldwide destruction that's taking place. Look with me, if you will, in chapter 17. And I'll get to where I'm going in just a minute. In verse number 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, we talked about those many waters, and we'll look at 15 in just a minute. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So this is an earthly thing again. And they're all, the world's involved in all this. But the focal center point of all of it is the great city of Babylon. Now, look again at verse number 15. We've read this 3 or 4 times. And he said unto me, the waters. Now, notice back in verse number 1 of that 17th chapter, it says that great whore that sitteth upon many waters. This explains to us who the waters are. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples. Notice. And multitudes. And what? And nations. And tongues. So see, we encompass into the whole world when we look at this that's involved with these things. And it says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And it's amazing how the Lord turns the devil's own kind to do his work, and turns him against himself, so to speak. But he tells us in the 17th verse, and God hath put in their hearts. Who do you think's in control? God's put this, he said. God hath put it in their hearts to do what? To fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So all we see taking place here is God manipulating them, and they think they're doing something big, and he's manipulating them to do his will. And Satan is destroying himself, so to speak. Now let's go back kind of to where we are today. In 18:3, and I know we talked about this, in 18th chapter, look at verse number 3. For all nations have drunk. Here we are again. Now, who? All nations. I'm trying to get this through to you today. Now, this covers the whole world, the whole universe. So here, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. So even though they're in the process of tribulation period, there's as much chaos going on as there is, they still some sinful enjoyment involved in it. And there's money-making involved in it. But all this comes to halt in a hurry, and we read these things in the latter part, in the 18th chapter, in the 9th verse, and the kings of the earth who had committed fornication and lived delicious with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. In 1 hour is thy judgment come. And then it talks about the merchandise of gold and all those things that they had in verse number 14. And the fruit that thy soul lustest after are departed from thee. Notice that phrase. Look at this phrase now. And the fruits. What fruits are we talking about? The delicacy of that great poor city of Babylon, the devil's church. He said the fruits, and it's just listed all these things they enjoyed. And he says, now the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. judgment has fallen. Babylon, you're gone. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Doing what? Weeping and wailing. Keep that thought in mind. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. For every shipmaster and all the company in the ships and the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her causes, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Now what's the world doing over that great city? Now they don't know what they're going to do. They're weeping and wailing because everything's come to a screeching halt. The computers are shut down. The economy's shut down. The religious system has shut down. Now we've got a dying world. But now let's look for a moment. Verse number 20, it says, rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets. For God hath avenged on her. Now I want you to notice the contrast. We get a heavenly scene now. And what's the first word in verse number 20? Rejoice. Rather than crying and weeping and wailing and all those things. What does God say? God says rejoice. Rejoice. Over her. The heavens and the apostles and the prophets, for God hath avenged what? You on her. So who's doing the avenging? You remember back here we are, we're running rabbit again this morning. Back in the sixth chapter, I need to remind you of something in chapter number six. Chapter number six, verse number nine. He said, when I had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them which were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. They did what? It said they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and do what? And avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. And of course, white robes were given, and they told them to rest for a little while until their brethren would be fulfilled like they are. In other words, that they would be killed also. Now, what did we see in verse number 20? He says, rejoice. What were they doing in 6 under the altar? The souls were crying out, were they not? Now what does he say do? Here he says, you rejoice. You rejoice, for God hath avenged you on her. So now who's doing what? God's doing what he promised he'd do. They said, how long, Lord, how long is it till you do it? They realized he was going to do it. And he says, there's a little time left. It's coming. You just hang in there. And here we see the reality. And here where they's weeping over the city of those who are lost, here we have rejoicing in heaven. And he said, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down, and shall be found, what? No more. And we'll read on a few verses, and then we'll come back. And the voice of harps and music and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more in thee. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants, for the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcerers were all nations. And there's that all nations again. And they were done what? They were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, whose blood's on them? The blood of prophets, the blood of saints, the blood of all those who were slain who upheld the name of God. Now I want to go back again to one verse that we've just read. Verse number 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Let me ask you a question. If you're walking down the coast at the ocean, and you reach down and you pick up a little rock, and you throw that thing just as far as you can out in the ocean, what possibility you got of finding that again? What possibility you have of ever seeing that again? That'd be slim and none at all, wouldn't it? Then if you get a little bit farther, if you're out on a ship and you throw one over out of a ship, I guarantee you won't ever see that one anymore, will you? Reference to Babylon, what's happened is like taking that millstone and casting it in the middle of the sea, and you won't ever see it anymore. It's finished. It's doomed. It's damned. It's over. And done with. And said, that's the way the devil's headquarters is going to be when I get through. And God said to them, he says, you rejoice because I have had vengeance on them. In chapter number 19, verse number 1, excuse me. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people. Here we go. After what? After these things. After we've seen how God's dealt with. Now notice I said after we've seen how God dealt with Babylon. Do you realize that you're going to be in God's presence looking at all this take place? If you know Christ in saving grace, you're already going to be in God's presence as all this happens. I'm not worried about the tribulation. I'm under the blood. Amen. And when I'm under the blood, that takes me out of the tribulation. And here he says, there's a great voice of much people where? In heaven, saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord. Next word, our God. How do you like that? Are you glad this morning He's your God? If He's your God this morning, you don't have to worry about these things that we're studying in the book of Revelations. Again, I say you'll be a spectator. You'll be looking. But it says, you notice in this, when He lists these things, when they do the hallelujah, He says salvation. That's the first thing it's mentioned. Aren't you glad that God set a plan up for salvation for you and I? And He says, in the glory, He is a wonderful and a glorious God. And honor and all honor is due Him. And He is the almighty power, the one and only God. There is no other greater than He. So He is the supreme power. And this individual that's described in this verse is God. And He's our God. He's our God. You let that soak in for just a moment. He's your God. You're in His watch care. You're His child now. For true and righteous are His what? Judgments. So don't you tell me now that He's just a God of love. He's also a God of judgment. And His judgments are true, and His judgments are righteous. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the what? Earth. Notice that says earth, the whole world, with her fornication. And hath avenged, there's that word again, the blood of His servants at her hand. So who does the final judgment? You just hang tight, His judgment's coming. And again they said hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Hell is eternal. Hell is eternal. Her judgment's eternal. And again they said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, or living creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the what? Throne, saying, what's the next word? What does that amen represent? When we say a prayer and we finish our prayer, what do? We say amen, don't we? It's finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's finished. He's through with. He's done with. It says, amen, hallelujah. That old great city. Have no more control over the world. And a voice came out of the throne saying, now notice the throne saying, praise. What's the next word? Our. I'm circling them little hours, by the way. I like the sound of that. Our God. Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for Lord God omnipotent does what? Reigneth. He's on the throne. He's reigning. Now, in verse number, good gracious, I don't know where the time's gone. In verse number 7, I told you a while ago when I started, I'm dumb as a rock. And there's some of the things that you get to in studying the book of Revelation, you find out really how dumb you are. And probably, Lord willing, sometimes after we finish the book of Revelation, I might would like to do a study on the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because I'm going to tell you right to start with, I don't understand it all. Also, in the process of it, I like to do a study on resurrection. Because some things in that I don't quite understand either. Brother, why are you shaking your head for? You know, good company. Now, the more you study, the deeper it gets, and the less you know, you learn that you know. There's a whole lot we've not even scratched the surface on. But anyway, let's start this. He said, let us be glad and rejoice. And there, be glad and rejoice again. See, all this is rejoicing time. And give honor. And boy, you need to circle that one. Because we do to give honor to him. He said, give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife had made herself ready. Now, who's the Lamb? We know that Lamb is the Son of God, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it says there's a bride that's ready. Who is that bride? That bride is you and I who make up the church of Almighty God. And there's a marriage going to take place. And from Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, until the last amen in Revelation, the church has been a focal point for God. To establish the church, a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And we're seeing that all come about and come true now. So he said, there's a wife, there's a bride. And he said, she's made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linens. Clean and white. Washed in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. And made white and clean. For the fine linens is the righteousness of saints. What is our righteousness? There is none righteous, no, not what? One. Any righteousness that's in any one of us who are present today comes through and by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Without him, there is no righteousness. So we've been made righteous. The righteousness of saints is the righteousness of God that's been placed on us. And when God looks at the church, the bride of Christ, he looks at this bride that we see described here through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and he sees a righteous church. He sees a made white church through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees a forgiven church through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we can be made righteous or clean. And he saith unto you, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou doest it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So now what we see is taking place here. Time's up. We have seen that there has been a wedding that has taken place in heaven. And when we go to verse number 11, we're going to find that Christ is going to make his return to this earth. And guess who's going to come with him? His bride. And that's going to be you and I, if you know Christ, in saving grace. Otherwise, you're going to be experiencing hell. Where do you stand today? Under the blood or under the judgment of your sins? Today, the day of salvation, you might not have them all. Lord, thank you again for the day, for your precious word. Walk with us now through the rest of this day. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen.